I think this morning's gospel focuses on one aspect, which I tend to preach a lot about, but here it is again, so I'm going to preach on it again. And it comes down to the idea of unity and division, okay? And the job of Satan, the job of the devil, is always to divide. In fact, the word devil basically means the divider. Satan means the accuser. And what happens when somebody is constantly going around accusing? Well, basically, he's trying to divide. And this is always the great task of the devil, to take whatever it is that God is doing and to oppose it and to try to divide us against God and to divide us amongst ourselves. And wherever the Holy Spirit is present, the fruit is going to be unity. There's something interesting here, and Christ himself says it, every kingdom divided against itself will be laid waste. Let's apply this to the church. Let's apply it to a parish, any group where the members among themselves are divided. It will not stand. And that is why the first fruit of division is going to be a lack of peace, conflict. What's that look like in a parish? It's when each one is going around judging and complaining, and how come this person, Father talks to this person, but not to this person? How come this person gets this responsibility, but no, no, no. And there was constantly gossip and intrigue and complaints and judgments and backbiting and all that stuff. When you see those fruits, you know that that is coming from the evil one. It is not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's also, by the way, why I constantly keep talking to us about the way we sing. If we cannot stay united in our song, we are not glorifying God. And again, nobody has to have a good voice. All you have to do is sing together. Okay? It's a fruit of that, and it's an expression of that. Music is meant to be a united effort of us singing together. So if the end of every song you hear two or three voices that are constantly, if everyone else is done, you keep hearing, oh, it's like you're watching, 3 seconds later, you're still singing. No, I'm exaggerating, but it's an expression of that. Now, there are things that are more important, but it's something that is noticeable in liturgy, so which is why I keep beating it up. By now, you figured out. There are a couple of things that every time I spot them, I'm going to call them out. Chewing gum in church, which fortunately I don't think anyone here does in the morning mass, but in the Sunday masses, every time I see the gum chewing, I'm going to call it out. The way we sing, the way we respond to our prayers, the same thing, by the way, when even this morning, even in the first couple of prayers, the response is like never together. It's like, the Lord be with you. Spirit. It's like, no. The Lord be with you and with your spirit together. Anyway, I don't know. I was not intending to go down that road, but it comes out of me so easily. Okay, back to the gospel. Something interesting. This is not a church doctrine. You don't have to believe it. It's just something that I picked up on from one of the exorcists. You know that Satan, at his downfall, it was a rebellion against God, and the words coming out of his mouth will be, I will be like God, right? So Satan's original sin was a rejection of God's plan, and it says, I'm going to set up shop, I'm going to be like God, without actually being God. That was also the original temptation of Adam and Eve. You will be like gods if you eat this fruit, without the inconvenience of actually having to be with God. Well, God we know is a Trinity, and actually, apparently, according to this exorcist, because he's encountered him under different guises, one of the punishments meted out by God to Satan who tried to be like God is that Satan has three personalities. He is Lucifer, he is Satan, and he is Beelzebul, okay? All three of them. And when he manifests as one or the other, he manifests in different ways. Beelzebul manifests one way. I think he's the spirit of division and chaos and violence and whatnot. Lucifer is always telling lies constantly, and I don't know what what his manifestation would be. So, there's that. Just an interesting factoid. One last thing. And I think this applies to us in terms of the sacrament of confession. The gospel finishes with Jesus saying, when an unclean spirit goes out of someone, it roams through arid regions looking for rest, but finding none. And it says, I will return to where I came from. And he finds the soul swept and clean and put in order. So when you and I go to confession, God clears out the house, and our spiritual house is swept, and it is clean, and it is put in order. And everything feels wonderful after we make a good confession. But what happens if we have a habit of sin, or much worse, if there's demonic oppression or some sort of form of external demonic activity in our life? If we do not then have habits of holiness, by which I mean prayer every day, sacrifices that we make every day, work in virtue, knowing what are my root defects and working to overcome them and working to grow in holiness in the way that I treat other people. If I do not have structures and habits of prayer every day, then the devil is going to look at us and say, the house is clean, it is empty, but they left the windows and the doors open and unlocked, and I have free access. And not only do I have free access, but Jesus says, he goes and he brings back seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and the last condition is worse than the first. Again, exorcists will tell you this is true. You can perform an exorcism and cast out the demon, but if the person is not going to, from that point onward, really work in the life of holiness, he'll be back and he'll bring more with him, and it'll be harder the second time around. So in the spiritual life, it is good to go to confession frequently. We need to do it, but with confession comes conversion of life and habits of holiness. Prayer, sacrifice, work in virtue. If not, we leave the door open to the evil one.